go back with me to, well, first let's go to Revelation 15. Revelation 15, and you can also mark Deuteronomy chapter 32. Revelation 15. In verse, well, let's read verses 1 through 3. Revelation 15. I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. Them that had gotten the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass. Having the harps of God, every one of them are given a harp. Would you like to play an instrument? You will. We all will sometimes. Verse 3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. I believe that's quite literal. I believe that our brethren right now in glory sing the old song and the new. I really do. They sing. Song of Moses. Now go back there. We read the Song of Moses. They sing the Song of Moses and the Song of the Lamb. They sing the old song and the new. Everyone in heaven. Because you must know the old to appreciate the new. You must learn the old song to be able to sing the new. You must have a heart broken by the law of God in order for it to be healed by the gospel of Christ. The old song of Moses is, look what you've done against your God. And the song of the Lamb is, look what He's done for you. There's weeping before there's joy. There's sorrow before there's laughter. There's conviction of sin. Every gospel message must begin like this. When Paul said in his last message to the church at Ephesus, the elders, his very last sermon was this. He said, I've not failed to preach unto you the whole counsel of God. I've kept back nothing profitable unto you. And he said, I've preached faithfully. Repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the sum of these two songs. The old song and the new. The old song. Oh, it's a song of God's great mercy and grace. But look at chapter 31. Look at chapter 31, verse 16. The Lord said to Moses, you shall sleep with your fathers, but this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of this land. And my anger will be kindled against them. They're going to know my anger. Got to appreciate my mercy. Verse 19, he said, therefore write this song. Teach it to the children of Israel. Who's going to learn this song? The children of Israel. The sons of Jacob. God's people. That's who learned the song. The world doesn't know the song of Moses, nor the song of the Lamb. But God's people, they all sing this. All of them. Now look at verse 19 there. It says, this song is going to be a witness for me
against the children of Israel.
The song of Moses is against them. It testifies against them. Are you with me? You know where I'm going with this. Where the Lord is going. The law is against us. Whatsoever things the law saith to them that are under it. But every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. Guilty. Against thee, and say with David, against thee, and thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that he might be just. It's against us. But now, if God be for us, who can be against us? The law is against us. That's what this song says. Did it strike you as you read it? Look at verses 1 through 4 now. It's a blessed doctrine of our God, teaching of our God. The law tells us who our God is. Give ear, heaven, O heavens, and I'll speak. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine, as teaching, shall drop as the rain. Scripture says he'll come down like rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, as a showers upon the grass. Sweet, soul-refreshing words of light. Life-giving doctrine of who our God is. The rock. Publish the name of the Lord, the greatness of our God. He's the rock. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ the Lord. Rock, His work is perfect. The law speaks of Christ. The law convicts. The law says we're guilty, but the law also says somebody came. He's the rock. His work is perfect. You see? All His ways are judgment. The rock, which is Christ. That rock is Christ. He's the God of truth. He said, I am the truth. Without iniquity, with no sin. Just. The just one. The Holy One of Israel. And right is He. There's not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That's what the law saith of that. But when Christ came, He said, lo, I come. The just one. That's the essence of the law, is what it tells us. We're guilty. Christ is the guiltless one, the sinless one, who came. God made Him to be sin for us, He who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. All right, look at verse 5. It says, they have corrupted themselves. We're not only born with Adam's sin, but we sin Adam's sin. We do what he sinned. And we will do till the day we die. That's no excuse. John wrote in 1 John 2, little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. We have an advocate. The law says it shall be perfect to be accepted. That's what the law. I like that. I want to be perfect. I want to be sinless, don't you? I find in myself a lot. I delight in the law of God ever to the inward man, the new man. I do. But I find also in myself a law warring against my members so that I cannot do the things that I would. And then I hear the blessed gospel and it's a music to my ears. That Christ did. He came. Not to show us how to live per se, although He did, but to live for us. To be our life. To be our salvation. Oh my. Doctrine. He'll drop that doctrine. The doctrine of Christ drops like dew. like tender rain on the mown grass. Those that are cut down by the law. They've corrupted themselves. In verses 6, verse 5 and 6, they're perverse. Is this the spot of His children? We call ourselves children of God. Now I'm talking to those that profess to be believers. Because that's who this is to. Israel. Sons of Jacob. Sons of Jacob. Jacob was a just man. Jacob was chosen. Jacob was God's man. He changed his name to Israel. Was Jacob a sinner? Oh, yeah. Did he die a sinner? Oh, yeah, he did. How did his sons turn out sinners like him? And he writes to the sons of Jacob. And he says in another psalm, blessed, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. This is written to Jacob. And he says to the sons of Jacob, you don't act like his children. You don't act like his children. And who in here would possibly say for a moment that we've been faithful sons and daughters? You don't act like his children. Oh my. Verse 6, he said, do you thus requite the Lord? Is this how you repay Him? Is that how you repay Him who's done so much for you? Said you need to remember, verse 7, remember the days of old. Your father will tell you, the elders will tell you. In verse 8 and 9, he said how God, when He separated the people of the world, in verse 9, He said, I chose Jacob. Jacob have I loved. That's election. That's sovereign election. That's how He began. He said, remember that. Go way back, and where it all starts is in the sovereign predestinating purpose of God according to election. That God in eternity past said, I'm going to choose a people out of the mass of humanity, sinful humanity, rebels against me. There won't be a one of them that seek me. There won't be a one that knows me. There won't be one that doeth good and sinneth not. There won't be one righteous person. There won't be one person worthy of me saving them. But I am merciful. I am gracious. I will be gracious. I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. Jacob have I loved. I'm going to choose Jacob. Not the good son. Esau, not the tall one, not the best one, not the one that his father would choose, but a cheat, a supplant. I choose Jacob. Jacob have I loved. I have set my love upon him, and I'll not take it back. Sovereign election. Oh, don't you love it? God who chose a people like Jacob. The world hates that. Religious people hate that. Self-righteous people hate that. Who loves that? Jacob loves that. Jacob. This is where he started. He said, remember that. Jacob have I loved. Well, where did he find Jacob? It says, wandering in a waste, howling wilderness. Running from God. He didn't even know God. Didn't care for God. He's a cheat. He's no good. He's a rebel. He's a usurper. He's a liar. He's running from God. Jacob's running from God. God's running after him. Bless His holy name. Oh, it's good doctrine. It's more than doctrine. Barnard used to say, election's not a doctrine, but it's a person. Choosing persons. According to His wonderful mercy and grace, those that don't deserve it. Don't deserve it. He said, I found him. I found him in a desert, in a waste howling wilderness, verse 10. I led him about. I instructed him. I taught him. Thou shalt all be taught of God. We're not self-taught. If you taught yourself, you learned wrong. All taught of God. And He instructed them. He kept him as the apple of His eye. Who? Jacob? Yeah. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over him, spreadeth her wing, taketh them, carries them under her wing. And He led him There wasn't anybody with him. No one else did this. God did it all. The Lord did it all. Oh, Gomer, it wasn't your lovers. It's your maker. Who's your husband? Verse 13. Made him ride on the high places, eat the increase, suck honey out of the rock. Oh, wouldn't you love to dwell there a little while? Oil out of the flinty rock. What's the rock? I'll just say this. What's the rock? Where's honey? How could honey come out of a rock? Oil out of the rock. Water out of a rock. And that rock is Christ. That's the only place you're going to find honey. Only place you're going to get sweet oil. Only place water for the thirsty. Butter of kine, milk of sheep, fat of lambs, good lamb, strong rams, goats, fat, bread of wheat. Thou didst drink the pure blood, the wine on the lees, and well refined. But he got fat. He got filled like Gomer. I made you beautiful. Sanctified you, set you apart. And then you trusted in that beauty. Then you got puffed up like it's something you did. When you were beautiful through my comeliness, he said, that everything you had by my grace, everything you know, everything you have, everything you can do, by my grace. And you got puffed up. And you got fat, full of a vain glory, vain conceit, puffed up with knowledge. I know something. I am something. I can do something. And you kicked. And you kicked. Sounds like Saul of Tarsus, doesn't it? Sounds like the rich young ruler, doesn't it? I had an old horse one time. I went, Kelly can give you hundreds of illustrations like this. We went and bought an old mare. She was in her later years. And she was ready for the glue factory. You could see every rib, couldn't you, man? She was ready to die. She didn't have anything to eat. And we bought her. Yeah, we paid about $700 for that horse. Knowing what I know now, I wouldn't give you $50. But I bought her. We bought her. Brought her home. We began to feed her the fat of wheat. We began to feed her the fat pastures. The Lord's pastures drop fatness. Began to feed her. We bought her. I purchased her. I redeemed her. She's mine. I saved her life. I brought her into the fat good of the land. I fed her. I watered her. I vetted her. I petted her. I set her free. She was in bondage. I set her free out in the pasture to roam as she would and just get as fat as she would. And she did. She fattened up. Became sleek and black and whinnying. And you picture this thing. And one day. And I didn't lay hard labor on her. She's just a pet. Really. But one day, I went out there to get her. Put that halter on her. To lead her. Probably lead her into even greener pastures. And she kicked me. She kicked me. What about us? They kick. Get fat. He warned that, didn't he? You're going to go into the land. You're going to get fat. You're going to have all these things that I've done. And you're going to murmur. You're going to complain. You're going to sit in your tent and murmur in your tent. And you're going to kick against my providence. And I require a little service of you. And you're going to say, why me? And we're a sorry bunch, aren't we? Sorry, but well, how long is he going to put up with it? You know how long I put up with that old horse? A long time. A long time. They lightly esteem the rock of their salvation, it says, Savior. He said, I'll hide my face. Let me go on down. Verse 20, I'll hide my face. Verily, he's a God that hideth himself. The Father, if he's a Father, he's going to hide his face. He's going to frown, and you're going to feel it. And he says, your children in whom is no faith. He has no faith. After all those years, they acted like they didn't have any faith whatsoever. Our Lord said that, how long have I been with you? And yet you don't know me. You don't trust me. Why do you have no faith? Be not faithless, believer. They've moved me to jealousy. And he talks about other gods and idols and so forth. And every one of God's people, if they weren't just in out and out in the gutter, if they weren't in the gutter of sin, they were in a gutter of the pew. They were in religion, which is even more an abomination to God than the outwardly immoral and wicked works of the world. The people who, he said, talk about a God who is no God. Talk about God as if he's no God. This wood lawn over here got on their sign, let Jesus in. Some of you came from there. That's what they believe, that Jesus is a pathetic, poor, pitiful fella who wants in your heart and can't get in unless you let him in. That's another Jesus. That is not the God of this of the universe who sits on the throne doing as he will. That's not the Lord Jesus Christ. That's another Jesus. And some of you were in that. Every one of God's people, if they were in religion, were in false religion. False religion. A God who was no God. An idol. Their rock. You know, they talk about Him as a rock. They talk about Him as God. They talk about Him as Jesus, as Savior, as Lord, and so forth. They say it, but He's only a figurehead. He's not Lord at all. He's not Lord over all. He's not God at all. Their rock is not our rock. He said it. You trusted in a rock, a God that cannot save. And he said, and thank God he brought you to a point to trouble. He sent all these things upon you and brought you to see that God can't save you. He said, now let's see what their God will do for them. Now I'm paraphrasing so we can get to the new song. And you learn something about the law. Whereas before, you actually thought you kept it. You actually thought, like Saul of Tarsus, I'm blameless. Like the rich young ruler. What do I lack yet? Maybe a few things I lack. You tell me what to do, I'll do it. And our Lord, the sober words that He said to that young man, you're not far from the kingdom of heaven. Meaning, you're not in. You don't know me. You don't know the law. You think you do. You don't know what you believe and where you got it. Or if you're firm. You don't know me. You don't know why I came. You're not looking to me. You're looking to yourself. What do you find out from the law? When that law strikes you like a sword. He talked about a sword. I'm going to bring out a sword. It's going to cut you. He said, I'm going to wound you. I'm going to kill you. Paul said, when the commandment came before, he said, I'll do that. When the commandment came, he said, finally, in salvation, he said, I died. Who thought I was something. Died. Thank God. He said, I was crucified with Christ. That's what the law says. Kill him. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do. To offend in one point, in thought, in word, in deed. Who shall ascend under the holy hill of the Lord? Psalm 24 says, he that hath clean hands. When the scripture says, let us lift up holy hands, you going to lift up yours? Let me tell you the hands I lift up. Jesus Christ's hands. He said when he came to his disciples, "Behold my hands. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies through Christ. Christ died. Christ came." I'm getting way ahead of myself. "Who shall ascend? He that hath clean hands, a pure heart, and has never lifted up his soul unto vanity." This is who's going to get into heaven. Who's never gone after anything but served God all his day. Any vanity. And has never sworn deceitfully. Nothing but truth come out of your mouth. Who can say that? Christ. And who does he say that for? Everyone that trusts him. Everyone that says, "In my hands, no price I bring. I'm a man of unclean lips and dwelling amongst the people of unclean lips. My hands are not clean. My heart is not pure. I've gone after vanity and these lips are lying lips." And he says, "Good. Come unto me. I've got good news for you." You know, this song ends Deuteronomy 32, verse 43, this song ends by saying, "God will be merciful unto his people." The song is against them. The song of Moses is against us. It says, "Cursed." The song of Moses says, "You're guilty." The song of Moses says, "You've sinned against God." But it ends in hope. It ends by saying God will be merciful. Like Ephesians. The whole song of Moses sounds like Ephesians 2. "And you that were dead and trespassed in sin, who walked according to the course of this world, children of wrath even as others, but God." Now go with me to Revelation 5. Now let's learn a new song, shall we? You know, they're singing the old song in glory. Right now, they are. Because you can't learn the new. You can't sing the new from the heart unless your heart is broken by your own sin. Unless your heart is broken, you cannot rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is only good news for sinners. The gospel is only pardon for sinners. The gospel is only mercy for the guilty. I mean every time. The times when the gospel's not sweet to us is times when we don't feel the sense of our sin. That's a fact. The Holy Spirit takes the things of Christ and shows them unto his people. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. And lead us and guide us into all truth, the truth as it is in him. The truth of what we are and the truth of who he is and what he did and why he did it and who he did it for. We've got to learn the old song before we learn the new. And you know, Brother Mike Bartram, such a great singer. And what constitutes a great singer, he told me, in whatever singing, especially the classics, opera and so forth, is sing from within. You sing from within, the diaphragm. You know what? You can't sing this song unless it's from the heart. You'll not rejoice in the Lord Jesus unless it's from the heart. You'll not sing, you'll not glory and rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, his mercy, the mercy in him, the love of God in him, the righteousness of God in him, a pardon of sin in him, unless your heart is broken over sin. We won't do it. I look out and I preach to people and I lift up Christ and I set forth Christ as a sinner's substitute, as a sinner's covenant head, and I look in the eyes of some and they're yawning. They're yawning and they're falling asleep. And it's like, it's not touching me. Give me something else. And I say to myself, they must not be a sinner. either that or they're just asleep. You know, God's people do fall asleep. Yes, they do. When Christ was going to the cross itself, His very disciples fell asleep. But oh, they wept later, didn't they? When they thought they'd lost Him, when they thought He was gone forever, they wept, didn't they? He said, you're going to be sorrowful like you've never sorrowed before. When you're going to think all is lost, all is hopeless, and I'm gone, and what I came to do, I didn't do it. But then I'll rise again, and I'll show you my hands. And you're going to rejoice, and your message from that day forward is going to be me. Like Peter, you're going to go forth, Peter, and you're not going to preach man's will and man's works and what man can be, but rather Christ. That's who loves this message. Look at it, Revelation 5. Here's the new song. Talked about a book that no man could open. No one was worthy. What book? The Bible. The Word of God. So many delve into it. So many have their filthy hands on this covenant of our God. He said one time to the false prophets, who are you to take my covenant in your mouth? Look what you're doing to my Word, corrupting my Word. They think they have the answers. They think they know. The false prophets, all this poison out of their lips and mouths of God, lying on God. No man is worthy. None is worthy. No preacher is worthy. Any man that thinks he is not God's preacher. Any person that thinks they know something about this book knows nothing yet as they ought to know. No one's worthy. No one is able. No one is capable to open this book, to understand it. Not one word of it. Only one. And John, who heard His voice and saw the Lord Jesus Christ and fell at His feet as a dead man. John, there had never been a man born of woman greater than John. Had the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, but he fell at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ as a dead man. When he heard Him, when he saw Him. And John said, he wept. He wept. Nobody. Who's worthy? This book in which are the mysteries of God. This book in which are the counsels of God. This book which is the mind of God, the will of God, the purpose of God, the ways of God, the character of God. This book in which are the names of the people of God. Who knows the name? I don't know the name. You don't know the name. Rightly divide this word of truth to whom it belongs to. I don't know. No man knows. And he wept. Am I in the book? Am I in the book? Is my name written in the Lamb's book of life? I may think it is, but I don't know it is. Well, I know who knows. There's only one that knows. And John wept and he said, who is worthy? And lo and behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You see, he's first seen as a lion before he's seen as a lamb. He's first spoken of as the Lion in the Revelation. And thereafter he's called the Lamb. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. He came, and it says in verse 7, he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. He took the book to open it. And everybody in heaven, look at it, verse 8, everybody in heaven, the elders, 24 and 20 elders, all of them with harps and golden vials and the prayer of the saints, they fell down before the Lamb. They fell on their faces before the Lamb. And verse 9 says, they sung a new song. Here's the new song. Every one of them, they had learned the old song. Every one of them. Sinners, sons of Jacob, Israel. Every one of them are Israelites to whom pertaineth the law. And all Israel shall be saved. All of them, sons of Jacob, know their guilt that they sold their brother. They know their guilt that they hated their brother, their elder brother, whom the Father loved. They killed him. They killed him. And the Father ought to be angry. But God. came manifest in the flesh, came down here in the volume of the book. It is written of Him. What's this book about? Who? 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 After the people at Pentecost were convicted of their sin, how? By what they'd done to Christ and His sovereign reign on the throne. That's what convicted them. We're in the Lord's hand. He can kill us or let us live. We've sinned against Him. We've rejected Him. Now, I accepted Him, rejected Him. And they all, to a man, to a person, said, "What shall we do? Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What did Peter say? Believe. Repent. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Because this is why I came. My, to be made guilty. To fulfill the law, to take our sin in His body on the tree, to be killed for His people. The Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of all His people. And so this is what they sing. They've all learned it. They all know this. They sung a new song. Verse 9, "Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain. Thou hast redeemed us to God." Notice who did all the work. Notice who they're singing to. Not of what, but who. "Thou art worthy. Thou wast slain. Thou hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood." Nothing else but blood. Thy blood. Out of every, not every person, but out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. "And Thou hast made us unto our God kings." That is a royal generation. A holy priesthood. Priests, servants of the Most High God, who serve about the tabernacle and the temple. "And we shall reign on earth." Not that we reign really over anything, but being princes in the house of our Lord. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. But like Adam, we are over the things of this earth. "And I beheld and heard a voice," read on, "of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying," singing with a loud voice. Here's the new song. The song of the ages. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Second verse, same as the first. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Do you tire of hearing about the Lamb? Do you tire of singing these songs about the Lamb? You won't be there then. Those who have been washed from their sins in the blood of Christ, redeemed by the blood of Christ, they're going to sing through all eternity, "Worthy is the Lamb." You read the article by Brother Spurgeon in our bulletin. Read it. Wonderful. Not one person in glory who's speaking of anything or anyone but Jesus Christ. And you learn that song here. You learn that song here. Song of the Lamb. And they say, belongs unto Him. Worthy is the Lamb to receive power. That is, for us to ascribe unto Him, to worship Him, to declare that He has all power. Not let Him be Lord. Oh no, anybody that says that doesn't know Jesus Christ. But ascribe unto Him that He has all power and all riches and wisdom and strength. We have none. And honor. We're unworthy. And glory. We have no glory. God forbid that I should glory. Save in the cross. And blessing. I'm going to be blessed. He's got to bless me. And every creature in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I say, and blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped Him that liveth forever and ever. And so they sang the song of Moses, the old song. They're still singing it up there. Because that song redounds to the glory and the honor and the praise and the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The song of the Lamb. Do you know it? Them? These two are one. They're one song. They go together in perfect harmony, the old and the new. The law, if they speak not according to the law and to the testimony. The law is good if you use it lawfully. But it's not to show you what to do. But it's to show you who did it. The schoolmaster bring you to Christ. The law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to my word and bring them in perfect harmony in one, the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no light in them. They don't understand. They don't understand. But thanks be unto God who has come and given us an understanding that we might know Him that is true and that we were in Him that is true. This is the eternal God and this is eternal God. The Lord Jesus Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. All right, we're going to stand and sing in closing number, I had it somewhere. What number, John, did I give you? Praise the Savior? No, 475. That's it. 475. We're going to sing the first and last verses. 475. Redeemed, how I loved to proclaim it. There's a young man who used to love that song, and a young man named Andrew that requested it every time. Oh my. We're going to sing it forever. Redeemed. All right. 475.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the